Welcome back to another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast presented by Inkova Insurance, where we sit down each month to speak with the Ohio State Senior Vice President and Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director to talk about the current state of OSU athletics. My name is Ben White, and I'm joined, as always, by Mr. Gene Smith. Gene, first and foremost, how are we doing today?
Doing great, Ben. Doing great. It was been a great weekend, and the weather's good right now, so everything's all good.
Absolutely. It's been uncharacteristically warm here in Ohio for this time of year, but our fall athletic calendar is well underway. How are things going for our Buckeyes so far?
Yeah, you know, really proud of our kids. They're doing a great job. Our coaches are doing an excellent job in leading them. We obviously have our men's and women's soccer rolling and women's volleyball and women's ice hockey just got off to an unbelievable start this past weekend with a sweeping Minnesota. So they're 4-0 right now. And our men's ice hockey starts this weekend. And so we just got so many things going on. And basketball started practice last week. Thursday was their first day. And so it's that time of year. You know, most people think that the fall, the September and the October is the biggest, busiest time of month. But frankly, time of year actually is November, January, February, March, when all the sports are going. So really excited, really, for our teams.
I have not mentally prepared for the fact that men's and women's basketball tip in about a month. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that, but we'll get there, and I'm sure they'll be in great shape. But we're excited today. We've got a fantastic guest. Our guest joining us today previously spent 15 years here at Ohio State in the Scarlet and Gray and is now in her fifth year as the Director of Athletics at the University of Pittsburgh. We're fortunate to be joined by Heather Light. Heather, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be a part of the podcast, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So today we wanted to discuss something that will continue to be increasingly relevant in our industry, which is branding. And since you arrived at Pitt, Heather, there's been a pretty heavy overhaul of the athletics department branding there. Can you talk us a little bit about that process and the thought that went in behind it?
Sure. When I finish my career, I'm going to write two books. One, what it's like to work for the greatest athletic directors ever. And then two, how to screw up a brand of a university as easily as they did at Pitt initially. So honestly, what happened was, obviously places like Ohio State, I mean, and I believe Pitt, have really strong, recognizable brands. And sometimes change is good, creativity is great, but wholesale changes in brands of whether you go from Pitt to Pittsburgh to Block Pitt to changing the colors to changing the script Pitt but leaving the old colors. I mean, you just don't wanna just screw up a brand that much and make that many changes. Both from a visibility and branding standpoint, as well as a merchandising and the people, the licensees and people that buy the merchandise. It really took a toll at Pitt. I'll say that when I first got to Pitt 5 years ago, the thing that I noticed most was we had a throwback jersey, which were the old colors. And when I looked at social media, and if we're not paying attention to social media, we all know we need to some extent, all of our student athletes were picturing themselves in, their image was in the throwback color. So you always put your best picture out there, right, as your social media picture. And all of them were representing themselves in those brighter colors, our blue and gold. And so it told me right away that that's what they love. That's what they assimilated to. And obviously our fan base love the old colors too. So obviously we're able to, fortunately, to change and really go back to an original brand that is very strong.
Absolutely. How do you feel going back to that original brand better represents your current department and its mission?
Well, what it plays on is the history of success. You know, I think what you look at is your overall fan base and donors and people that have a vested interest in, the success of your future. They assimilate to, you know, the Danny Marino and Tony Dorsett, and it's Dorsett. For those of you who aren't real Pitt fans, he only became Dorsett later in life. But if you're a real Pitt fan, it's Dorsett. But they wore those colors, you know, they won 9 national championships in those colors. And so for the future, you also have to stay progressive. And while it's going back to old colors, it's also modernizing it in the bright colors that really represent Pitt and what the recruits love, and obviously what our current student athletes love too.
Certainly. Gene, traditionally up to this point, how has the school's branding impacted an athletic department's success?
Yeah, I think it points directly to what Heather articulated. You want to pay tribute to your history and your traditions, but you have to recognize where your current student athletes are, what interests they have. And as Heather shared, one of her first things she recognized was the student athletes that she currently serves. You know, what are they interested in? What are they embracing? And they embraced the Pitt colors from the throwback time frame. So you got to draw a connection of what are young people interested in today, trying to balance that the tradition and history that all of us old heads hold on to so dearly. But we all know we have to go to where young people are today. And that is a direct correlation to your ability to be successful. Athletes recruit other athletes, coaches and, you know, institutions and all those things. But when a student athlete comes on a visit, she or he spends a lot of time with the student athletes at that institution. And so how they feel and how they're engaged and what they embrace is so important. So it really contributes in a big way.
Heather, you both have mentioned some of the different constituents that you have to try to appeal to, whether it be the student athletes or the alumni and donor base. When you were thinking about the rebrand, if we will, of Pitt, how did you try to make sure that you were appealing to each of those different constituent groups successfully?
Right. So the rebrand is a real comprehensive look at all aspects of what you do within the department, you know, from your apparel, your uniforms, to your ticket brochures, to development, you know, all the images. So when we looked at it, we did work directly with Nike, who is our partner in apparel. And frankly, we had not evolved. You know, we knew the colors. I knew the script Pitt. That's a strong look. Everybody loves it. There's a story there behind Coach Majors designing it. We were going to keep the script Pitt. But what we did not have was a really strong Panther head. And we did not have any patterns or identifiable marks. What's our font? What's our typography look like? And, you know, we're all over the place. So Nike came in and helped us study that. And to appeal, certainly to the student athletes, honestly, that's the most important constituent you serve. But you do have over 300,000 alumni and fans. So, you know, you have to balance all of them. They're all really important. And then you have young people. And what's the future look like, right? So we went back to the old, we kept the script Pitt. I said, don't touch a thing about it, but let's go back to these colors. Let's create a font that is what we call a cathedral font. We have the Cathedral of Learning. It's the largest academic building in the country. And so that's a very iconic building here on campus. So how are we going to connect to campus and what resonates with the rest of the campus? So it's a cathedral font. It's a cathedral stripe, which is our pattern. And then we created this unbelievable Panther head that I was, you know, honestly really nervous about. But when you look at the license marks that your institution needs to have, and then how do you evolve? You think about even the Buckeye leaf at Ohio State. At a time, that wasn't a big deal. Now it's synonymous. I mean, you know, you knew it because it was a sticker on a helmet, but it wasn't seen throughout, you know, on a hat and on apparel. So you're always looking to how do you, you know, really appeal visually as well as merchandise from a merchandise standpoint, you know, and what's going to resonate. So the Panther head has been incredibly well received, better received than I expected, which is good. And then you also have to worry about your chancellor. I remember showing my chancellor the very first iterations of the Panther. He's like, I think he's not narrow. It looks a little too humanistic. I'm like, I can't believe you're worried about this. But you want buy-in up and down and across your campus. And you you really want to be thoughtful. The Panther was designed off of the fountain on the side of the cathedral. So again, there's depth and meaning to it. So I think whenever you're looking at your brand and how it's displayed, sometimes if you can connect it to something on campus or something that really resonates with the past as you prepare it for the future, there's a story there to tell and there's depth and thought that's put into it.
That's fantastic. You have to be very careful with those animal logos. My high school back home in Toledo, after getting in trouble using three different Division I football program logos, had a student draw a Panther. And we'll just say it doesn't resonate the same way that the Pitt Panther that you guys have now does. So I'm glad that yours went more successfully. But Gene, as we enter the world of NFTs and brand awareness is increasingly a digital matter, what's the future of college athletic brands and where are we going next?
Yeah, I think what you just said is it, Ben. I think we all have to be sensitive to the placement of the brand. Where will it be? And trying to make sure that it is transferable to the digital space. What Heather did at Pitt with the designs and the script part, maintaining the script part of Pitt, it could be a very attractive digital piece of property. And so you have to make sure that everything that you do transfers into that space. When we, a few years ago, changed the interior colors of our logo, the athletic department logo, we were very sensitive to that. We wanted to make sure that from a digital point of view, it popped. And so it really, this really does that for us. And so, but you have to have experts do that. You know, as athletic directors, like Heather said, she brought in Nike. You bring in people who live in that space, and we got great creative people. So it really helped us. But everything you do around your logo and your brand, which is two separate things, you have to make sure that it's transferable to all those different mediums as we move forward.
Heather, Pittsburgh is a school that for a lot of listeners or fans of college athletics may associate with a couple different conferences over the years. So how do you feel that your affiliation with the ACC now helps with the marketability of your school, your department, your brand?
Well, there's no question. I mean, there was a time, the Big East, obviously, they were a member of the Big East for quite a long time. But honestly, when I got there, I said, hey, we're in the ACC. And there was this kind of conversation. We weren't really ready to get in the ACC because competitively, we weren't really as competitive as we had been in the Big East. I said, well, we're headed into year five. When do you think we ought to get ready? We were headed into year five of the ACC. So really, we had to be very intentional about putting ACC logos throughout our campus, on our materials, on our website, in all the social spaces, much more visible. Hey, member of the ACC, academically and athletically, we mirror and match a lot of our ACC peers. So it's really about telling that story much more intentionally and visibly and creating a place where we celebrate ACC championships. Where was that going to be? We had won an ACC championship in one sport at the time, in wrestling, and you'll appreciate this. So the ACC, the one ACC wrestling championship trophy, when I got here, I said, where is it? And I asked anybody in the department, if you can tell me where it is, I'll give you a bonus or something, right? Literally, if you go up into the field house, a 1951 building, you head down the hallway, you go down two flights of stairs to the wrestling room. You can envision this wrestling room, two flights of stairs in the basement. there was a little room off the wrestling room with a, like, kind of for the videographer. And there was a desk, a couch, and two end tables. And it was on one of the end tables. That's where the one ACC championship trophy we had won was displayed for nobody to see, right? I said, well, where do you guys think we ought to put the second one, on the other end table? I mean, like, what are we? So as a department, you have to celebrate your success and have to expect success. So if you expect to win and you set those expectations, then we've got to have a display for ACC championship trophies. Why am I walking around a bunch of Big East trophies? So you want to, again, we represent the past, we celebrate the Big East, but we had to create an ACC championship display. And we have a whole thing that we do now when a team wins. And thank goodness we won more ACC championships. And the most recent ACC championship gets to be displayed in this one particular place. We have a breakfast with champions. And so you create new traditions and you tell the story more intentionally as it relates to our new conference. And so I think it's been well received now that we're headed in and winning a few more ACC championships.
Let's hope you get so many that the only place to keep the rest of them are in that basement.
Our goal is to get out of the basement, right, Ben? Right. Heather,
there you go. Heather, you guys also have one of the rare distinctions of being a Power Five program that's in a major city that has multiple professional sports as well. How do you guys try to cut through that noise to make sure that the Pitt brand stands out?
Well, the good thing is Pittsburgh is a sports town. You know, whether it's high school sports, that, you know, football Friday nights is 20,000 people come into a high school football game. They follow Pitt and they obviously follow all of our professional teams. We have great relationship with the pro teams. And Pittsburgh alumni, you know, 60% of them live in the city of Pittsburgh and the surrounding area. So it is densely supported by a lot of Pitt fans. And so I think it's a sports town and they follow winners. I mean, you know, it's the city of champions. And so we play off of that theme. You know, our one of our bridges, our core values is champions live here, because it is the city of champions. And so I think you want to play into whatever the brand of your city might be or your area. And so here it obviously is the brand of the city of Pittsburgh is the city of champions. And so we play into that. Our colors, actually the yellow, we did the same PMS as the three. It's the only city in the country that has the same colors for their three professional teams that live in that same city. Yeah. And so we wanted to play off of that yellow as well, or Pittsburgh gold, if you call it. That's really what we wanted to play in and tie in to the other professional teams in the city.
That's cool. Fantastic. Cool. Gene, another aspect of branding in our space that's going to get increased focus over the years, especially with the implementation of NIL legislation across the country, is the personal brands of student athletes. How have you seen that evolve, and what are we doing at Ohio State to help student athletes with that?
Yeah, I think it's a different focus, but it's still tied to some foundational things. We teach our student athletes that you want to make sure that your persona, your brand, aligns with a corporate brand, and so that starts with values. It starts with how you behave, how you present yourself, your integrity. And how do you represent yourself on social media, all those type of things. So when you go to branding in an institution or a college or an athletic department, you start with who you are, who's your values. So that's so important. And that's so true in the NIL space, because we tell student athletes that certain companies are not going to align with you if you don't share their values, and your values are demonstrated through your behaviors. And so if you're not behaving appropriately on all those different social media platforms, you know, they're not going to associate. And so it's so important how you even dress in certain situations and what you wear is so critical today. And so we talk to our student athletes about that through our Dress for Success program. And so it's very important that they understand that, And I think it's only going to become more important as we move forward, because different deals are going to emerge over time.
Heather, you mentioned briefly appealing to your student athletes and recruits, but how important do you think a college brand value is going to be moving forward in the world and era of name, image, and likeness?
I think it's incredibly important. I mean, it always has been to the institution and to the university and to our fans, and in the recruiting world. I mean, there's no question about it. There's an appeal there. There's a perception. And so I think to our student athletes, that brand is equally important. But I would say that there's an growing increase in respecting the brand, which is, I think, a positive side of NIL. Because, you know, if you individually as a student athlete, if you have issues individually, obviously, you've got to clean up your own brand, whether that's how you manage your social media. And we've said that for years, but now it actually matters to their own brand. And they really do think about it more. I think it's a very teachable moment, but they're actually putting it to practice. Now, say your institution is in some kind of problem. That's going to tarnish that institution's brand, which is going to tarnish the individual student athlete's brand as well, because they're affiliated with that university. So I think it's ever so more, you know, even more important. And I think student athletes are starting to really understand the importance of how do you manage and build and protect the brand that you are individually and the brand that you're a part of, which is your university.
And I think in the NIL space, Ben, the institution is going to always be there. It's there for the long haul. So if you have a corporate partner, you know, they can look at the short investment in a short spike with a particular student athlete, but the institution is going to be there forever because that athlete is going to leave. They're going to move on. So the institutional brand sustains itself. But the reality of the relationship as well is so important, because if a corporation or some organization doesn't handle their NIL relationship with a student athlete appropriately, they have to also remember that student athlete is gone, but the institution has a long memory. And so there's so many elements to this that is advantageous to Heather's point, that if you really just pause for a minute and look at it, I think it's going to work well for the institutions, to Heather's point, take it the right way from an educational point of view and take it from that perspective. I think it's going to work fine.
On that note, Gene, how do you think it is most important for universities to balance that support of a student athlete with the department's brand, while also delineating the two, making sure that the Ohio State Athletics brand is a clearly distinguishable from a student athlete's brand?
Yeah, I think that's important. I happen to be one of the few that believes we should allow our student athletes to use our logos in what they do, but there has to be an approval process for that to happen. So because there's some prohibited categories that we would have concerns about, but I believe that we should be able to do that. And so it becomes so important that it's kind of seamless, you know, for our student athletes to be embedded in who we are and what we're all about. If you're doing the education the right way, then sure, that student athlete has their own individual brand, but they're not separated from Ohio State. They're not. That's what you want. You want that student athlete to be seen as an Ohio State University student athlete. And so that's what we've tried to educate our kids on is, you know, I'm Gene Smith, majoring in business, and I just happen to be a football player. That's what you want to do. And so to me, you want to create a culture where it's seamless.
It's interesting, Gene, just you saying that. It almost makes, well, two things come to mind. One, everyone's concerned about the transfer portal and the transfer this and that. You know, it may help emphasize the importance of student athletes' allegiance and alliance with their particular university, because I've been defined that way. Not that they don't, They're defined. We want them to go on and do great things, but they will forever be a Buckeye or a Panther. You know, once a Buckeye, right, always Buckeye. That phrase does ring true. And so I think that that's one really important piece that you hit on there. And as far as how to keep kids connected to that brand.
It's so true. I really believe that. And I think it's important. It's incumbent upon us to teach them that, they don't understand that. They don't see that. And actually the corporate partner doesn't see it at the beginning, but how do you create that in a way where the kids are talking about that?
Well, maybe what we do as universities, we share an idea that, whether that's on a big scoreboard, the places that it's most visible, or you take out an ad or a commercial and you have different student athletes talk, say, hey, I'm Gene Smith. I'm a business major at The Ohio State University and I play lacrosse or I play field hockey, right. And you start to do more advertisements that talk about kind of who they are, but always tie it at the very end to I'm an Ohio State, women's ice hockey player, and it just, you could do it with 36 different kids and represent the 36 different teams and, really reemphasize that point about the brand and tying it to the kid. And I agree that the logo, how do you take it away? I don't really understand. It's kind of playing a shell game that's not really necessary because they're representing, the jersey doesn't come off. They're always representing you. And so I think it's more of a teachable opportunity than let's keep it away from them.
I agree totally. Great idea. I love that vignette thing. That's a great idea. I'm gonna steal that. I'm gonna run with it.
We're making notes over here.
Yeah, that's all right. That's good.
Heather, what sort of advice would you give to a student athlete or maybe even a young professional that is working on establishing their own personal brand?
What I've always told myself is, hey, if you don't want it on the front page of the paper, don't say it, don't do it, don't post it, all that sort of thing. It's hard to undo things nowadays, right? It just is. And, it's funny you asked that question because my son had a little assignment the other day and we had to give what is the best piece of advice to stay away from, this was like in a health class, risky behaviors. And my oldest daughter said, well, choose your friends wisely and understand that consequences are real. And I thought that was so simplistic, but it's so real. So I think as you build your brand, choose the circle of friends and the people that you surround yourself with wisely and understand that, the consequences of making a mistake, while we all make mistakes in life, these are teachable. There's a lot of teachable moments. There's 18 to 22 year old, we make mistakes, but understand that, can you slow down and try to prevent as many mistakes as possible? And the consequences are probably pretty significant when you have those brands on your shoulders.
True.
Absolutely. Gene, anything you would add to a young professional or somebody just trying to build a brand?
I think first and foremost, there's a couple of things, because everything here is about people and you're trying to, impress people, not things. And so the easiest thing in life is to be nice. Just be nice and show respect. Bottom line, respect. And, it's easy to walk past people sometimes. Sometimes I think of different environments where people got their head down, they're walking down the street and they just keep rolling. And it's like, why not say hi? What's wrong with that? And so just be nice. And then you just got to just decide what are you all about? What is your purpose? The integrity, you have to have that. Work ethic, you have to have that. What are your other values? Family, whatever it is, faith, all those things you got to stay true to and be grounded in and let nothing get in the way of those. Nothing get in the way of those. And so my integrity, I own that. Nobody can take that from me. And so I got to stay true to that. My family called right now and there's an emergency. I'm off. I'm out. And so you just have to define for yourself what those values are. Stay true to those. But know, just be humble and just be nice. It's so easy in life to be nice.
Absolutely. We can use a lot of people taking that advice these days, but that'll do it for another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast presented by Encova Insurance. Heather, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your thoughts. I think this was a really valuable discussion.
Well, thank you, Heather.
Thank you, Heather. It's good to see you, and keep up the great work that you do as usual. So, and congratulations. Heather is now the president of the Lead One Association, 130 FBS schools in the country. We just had a meeting a couple of weeks ago in D.C. that she led. And congratulations, Heather. It's a great, great honor, and you're certainly prepared to do that. So congratulations.
Thank you, Gene. No, we're all just standing on your shoulders. You know how it goes. Honored to be here. Thanks, everyone.
Absolutely. Thank you again. And we really appreciate everyone who's listening and subscribed thus far. Until next time, we wish you all the best. Hope you're staying healthy and safe. For Gene Smith and everyone here at Ohio State Athletics, I'm Ben Waite. Be well and go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Go Panthers.
That's right.